It's a gratifying feeling. Definitely do know how hard it is to get here. It's a grind to get here, and when you get here, there's certainly no guarantees either. And we beat a really good football team tonight.
What happened is all the rich donors and special interests and the lobbyists got all the tickets, right?
Boo, boo, boo.
Look, I got a monkey brain, to be honest with you. I can't say the same thing. Like, I can't say it. My mind works differently.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:09 on this Monday. It's February 8th, 2016. Good morning. Welcome to it. It's another start of the work week. If you're working off your Super Bowl hangover, you're not alone. We'll figure out what monkey brain means later on this morning from Jeb Bush. We'll have all the coverage from New Hampshire as well. Our Andrea Darlis is there. It's a busy morning in the business world as well. We're going to go over the Super Bowl ads in the show. We're also going to be talking about the economy. A little better news on the Asian markets today on the morning intel. Some of the stock markets in Asia closed because of they closed early because of the Lunar New Year holiday, but the markets did open for just a little bit, and the stock market there was little change compared to Friday. The holiday trading day brought investors lower, just a little bit lower in Japan. Added attention is the focus on the U.S. employment figures that we saw released on Friday here in the U.S. 151,000 jobs were added last month. That's a sharp deceleration from recent months, and it adds to the concern that maybe the economy is slowing down faster than economists want, faster than perhaps we want. Forecast was 185,000 job. Analysts had thought there may be 200,000. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrials fell 211 points on that news. That's about 1.3%. The Standard & Poor's also lost. The NASDAQ Composite dropped 146 points. The tech stocks were hit hard again. Benchmark U.S. crude oil rose to just under $31 a barrel. The dollar gained against the euro and the yen. There are no major economic reports due out today. The government and most economists probably also working on their Super Bowl hangover. On Tuesday, the Commerce Department releases its December's wholesale trade inventories, and Labor Department releases the job openings and labor turnover survey for December. On the corporate side, Coca-Cola, CVS, and Goodyear all report earnings before the market opens, and Walt Disney reports after the market closes. There's been a lot of Twitter and social media conversation over the weekend about what's going to happen to the timeline on Twitter, so much so that Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has come out and said the Twitter stream will stay live and in real time. He was on several media organizations over the weekend, but he also tweeted, says he is going to introduce a timeline based on an algorithm, but that'll be a choice for people to make. It's being tested now. He's trying to calm fears that Twitter may be dying a slow and painful death. Also today, there is word that Ford will build its new auto plant in Mexico with plans to rev up production there. According to the Wall Street Journal, Ford plans to build a new assembly complex in San Luis Potosí, and expand an existing facility near Mexico City. The journal says the Dearborn, Michigan carmaker will add 500,000 units of annual capacity there beginning in 2018. And then, of course, there's the Super Bowl. What'd you think of the ads of the winner? This is one of the big ads from the show.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Cut.
Perfect.
Here are the changes.
I love changes.
When you say call me on my cell phone, just add device eligible for upgrade after 24 months.
Genius.
You know what? Also, you need to include that streaming music will incur data charges.
Fantastic idea. These changes don't ruin the song at all.
Here we're gonna go again!
Other wireless carriers ruin everything. Switch to T-Mobile, the uncarried.
You're welcome, T-Mobile. Free advertising for you this morning. The folks at the Kellogg School of Business Management in Chicago at Northwestern have been looking at these ads every year and sort of ranking them, and we're joined this morning by Professor Derek Rucker of the Kellogg School of Management. Good morning, Professor Rucker. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to get into this fully after the break and after we check traffic, but we want to just briefly kind of get your impressions of overall. I mean, overall, what did you think of the commercials last night? No, who cares about the winner of the game?
I'm happy for Manning, so I'm happy for him. But yeah, okay. Let's talk about the real stuff. Let's talk about the commercials. So two things. Safe year, so we didn't see anyone go too crazy where They drew a fence like last year where we had Nationwide, so kind of safe. But the second, I would say the quality overall, this was a good year. Good quality ads.
And we're going to go through the ranking next, but is there any of them that really just you thought, why did they even waste the money?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. So Squarespace came down at the bottom of our poll. And Squarespace is one, if you look at it again, probably a lot of the listeners are like, which one was that? And that's a really valid reaction. It's a confusing ad that really didn't do a good job linking back to what the brand was all about.
Derek Rucker of Kellogg School of Management. In our next segment, we're going to go over all the Super Bowl. Well, not all of them, but the big ones, the losers and the winners from the big game last night. The Super Bowl commercials.
From ABC News Wall Street Now. Asian stock markets were little changed today in thin holiday trading as investors worried about a global economic slowdown and data showing U.S. employers adding fewer jobs last month. Futures point to another down session on U.S. markets. More work is headed south of the border. Published reports suggest that Ford plans to build a new assembly plant in Mexico and to expand a second one. Chipotle restaurants across the U.S. are opening later than usual today so that workers can attend a meeting about the chain's food safety policies. That comes after Chipotle saw its sales slammed by food scares. Last night's Super Bowl has Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos basking in the glow of victory and viewers talking about the commercials, including the Bud Light ad featuring comedians Seth Rogen and Amy Schumer. The biggest boost to Bud may have come when Manning's first words after winning were, "I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser." Anheuser-Busch insists that Manning was not paid to mention its beer, but says it was surprised and delighted that he did. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 520. Welcome back to the program. Good morning. We're talking with Professor Derek Rucker, who is with the Kellogg School of Management. He's a professor of marketing there. And every year, Kellogg School looks over all of the Super Bowl ads and does their ranking. And we, before the break, Professor Rucker talked about one of your picks for the winners. Who else did a good job last night?
Yeah, so another one, you know, that has always had a pretty strong showing is Doritos. They really know their audience. They know what works with them. You know, this was their crowdsourcing ad, but it's a strong, powerful brand, and they entertain the consumer very well while showing the brand.
The commercials, tell us how you do this. How do you guys rank these? Do you have a panel that's set up and you have markers that you look at for who did well and who did poorly?
We sure do. So we have 60 to 70 of our MBA students. So these are full-time professionals who are going to take on brand management roles. In all likelihood, some of them will be producing these commercials in the future. And what we look at is to understand, are these ads that not only are they entertaining and enjoyable, so they have to grab your attention, but are they actually doing things to strategically build the brand? Things like having a benefit that makes me interested in the brand. Things like making me remember the brand, not just when I see the ad, but a day from seeing the ad, a week from seeing the ad, a month from seeing the ad. So we're looking for strategic markers of success.
Because, you know, as we talk about the Doritos ad and the Comcast and Toyota ads and some of the other Bud Light ad, are people going to remember those next year, do you think? Are they that level of remembrance?
So great question. So I think if you look at the short term, like, will this create positive energy around the brand for the next week, next month? I think so. Did we see any ad, this is my terminology, that is a Hall of Fame ad? So something like Apple's 1984, something like McDonald's Jordan versus Bird, something like Volkswagen's Darth Vader. And, you know, this year I think we saw a lot of high-quality ads, but I don't think we saw anyone who's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Nothing stood out because I can remember just a couple of ads from previous years, but not any of the others. And that brings me to the question, is this money well spent? Because what was a 30-second ad, about $5 million?
You have the number right. Yeah, it's about $5 million.
Is that well spent money, you think, for these advertisers?
For the right advertisers, that's a well spent money. And so what will happen is, you know, especially among consumable goods, so around beer, around chips, you get effects where people see the product and now they're going to start buying it around other sporting events. And so you can recoup that $5 million if the ad is done well. The problem is there's going to be a lot of ads where you will not see the brands coming back next year because they're going to look at what happened and say, we can't afford this kind of investment again.
Like, what would one of those be?
You know, one of the ones I would seriously consider, unless they're going to strongly change their strategy, would be Squarespace, which we spoke a little bit about, just because it was so lackluster that if we weren't talking about it right now, and I guarantee you, we're not going to be talking about it tomorrow, right? This is our one day to have this nice discussion of ads. they, you know, they're probably throwing money over the bows. They got to come up with a way to be more strategic, more influential.
Let's talk about some of the other winners last night. What was another one you liked?
Another one we liked, let's talk about this one because it's a little different, was the Audi commercial. This was the one that, you know, used a metaphor to kind of talk about the R8, like an opportunity for a, so to take a step back. This featured an astronaut who was kind of sitting on his couch, kind of dreaming of the day he went to space, and his passion, if you will, for taking off was reignited. And that was an ad that stood out among everything else. You had, you know, 60-plus ads this Super Bowl Sunday, and that was one of the few that went with a more emotional tone. So that helps it stand out from the crowd. So that was one that was well-received.
One of the ones that on your list that was less received would have been what? Another one.
So let's just stay in the car category. It would be Acura, right? And so Acura, it's like, if you look at it, it's not a bad ad. So when we give low scores, sometimes go, well, that ad, you know, we show the product, and it's, our question is, right, but is this an ad that you should bring to Super Bowl? Because if you bring it to Super Bowl, you've got to be up in that top set to really differentiate and stand out. And the problem with the Acura is it looks pretty much like a car commercial you might air any time of the year.
We last week on the program, we were talking with one of our contributors from Forbes magazine who wrote about Hyundai and some of the other car companies. But Hyundai especially spent a lot of money on this Super Bowl. I noticed that's not in your top, you know, five list or bottom five list. Were they just in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. That's a great question. So when we assign scores based on the overall brand, right? So we're going to look at, you ran three ads, so we're going to take an average of it. And so Hyundai did a very solid score of a B in our rankings. That's a good score. You know, we're tough here at Kellogg in terms of our grading. And they had some ads that were stronger than others. But I would say as a brand, it was a solid outing for them. Like, they're not going to have those huge memorable ads like we were talking about, but I think people would have taken notice. They had some cute, clever humor in showing their product. They had the Bears, for example, the date.
And then Ryan, his last name always escapes me, but he's one of the big male stars.
Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
That was kind of cute, I thought, because it's, you know, I don't know. I just thought that was funny. But it was a quick ad. It was like one of those 30-second ads, wasn't it?
I think that one was a short one. Yeah. So the thing, you know, we just named three ads the brand did. And one of the things, when you do three ads, you know, the pressure to have all three of those be, you know, successes is difficult. If you just focus on one ad, sometimes it's a lot easier to get the formula right, because you'll go, oh, the Hyundai ad. Now it's like, when I see the Hyundai ad, we have to say, wait, which one was it? And that slowdown is not necessarily good for us.
Does the Super Bowl talk about all of the ads that they rejected? Because I saw something online about them rejecting an ad about Jesus hates Obama. Was that a real ad that they rejected? Do you know?
That I don't know on that particular one, but it's certainly true that the program, whoever's hosting it, has those decision rights. And so in the past, you know, GoDaddy did not advertise this year, but they built a name out of sending in ads that were so controversial that they would get rejected. So absolutely the network has that capacity to make sure, because, you know, at the end of the day, the network is responsible for what airs too. So they can definitely reject things outright of that sort. And I don't know about that particular one, but given the content as represented to me, would not surprise me.
And so when you get all the kids together in class later today, if they're in school in your class, what are you going to tell them about the future of advertising and what lessons to be learned?
So this is what makes the exercise so wonderful for us. We'll talk about, for those who made, you know, mistakes, how could it have been better? What could have been done differently? As their brand managers, as they're going out into the world, we want to put them through the same strategic rigor of thinking through the questions so they don't make the same mistakes. So it's a really useful educational experience. And to be fair to all the brands who advertise, you know, a lot of the brands, if not every single brand, put a lot of time into it. And the question is always, did you make the best ad? And if you didn't make the best ad you could, then you have to ask yourself if you're ready to be spending that $5 million for a Super Bowl spot.
Professor Derek Rucker of the Kellogg School of Management, Northwestern University, on the Super Bowl ads, the big winners and losers. Thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning.
My pleasure.
We'll have a look at the news coming up. Right now, it's 5:27 on the opening bell.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Getting a jolt of caffeine sans the coffee pot.
I'm not grouchy. I just need my coffee.
Coffee makes things better for most of us, but you can't have it all the time unless you strap on your Juul.
Hello, friend. Let me ask you something. Do you need a pick-me-up without the put-me-downs?
It's the first ever wearable that pumps caffeine right into your system whenever you need it. In a cheeky online video, Juul's makers say all you have to do is wear it like a bracelet.
Snap on Juul and satisfy your caffeine fix.
It kind of looks like a Fitbit.
Juul bracelets have a slot in the bottom for energy patches that contain caffeine and vitamins.
Those patches are FDA approved. They claim to pump about as much caffeine as a cup of coffee into your system over a four-hour period. Juul's makers are trying to raise $15,000 online so they can sell these caffeine bracelets to anyone over the age of 18. With Tech Trends, I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. 538 on Friday, the jobs report released showed about 150,000 jobs created. 185,000 was the forecast. 151 was the official number. Unemployment did drop, but there is a lot of concern in the economy among economists and analysts that perhaps the economy is slowing down, and this is just another indication of that. In the studio this morning, we're glad to have again one of our recurring guests here on the show, Scott Sargis of strategicsearch.com. Scott, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Were you like me? Were you a little concerned when you saw these numbers?
I was. Most economists were expecting 188,000 to 200,000 new jobs. But it was a mixed picture. This was the 64th straight month of jobs creation. And in my area of technical and engineering, it remained strong. But a lot of areas, it got weak. So it's mixed.
Is it because of the holidays, do you think, that we saw some numbers go down? Do you think there's a possibility we could see it bounce back up? Or is it a trend that we're going to unfortunately see again in January or February?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, like I said, with technical and engineering positions, they remain in short supply and high demand. But overall, for example, mining contracted again, and public, educational services went down an unexpected 39,000 last month. So it's hard to tell.
We saw this morning the news that Ford has decided to build that big plant in Mexico. How is that going to impact American jobs?
Well, it's not going to help. I mean, just like that one plant on Mondelez, the former Kraft, is closing on the south side, that's not good for manufacturing.
Is it a sense? Are these companies leaving for a reason?
Well, the taxes, and there's so many additional burdens on companies today. All my clients are crying about all the additional burdens that have been saddled on them over the last few years. So those are some of the main reasons.
It's unfortunate because it's an ongoing topic on this show and on the Steve Cochran Show through the morning about how the state has not fixed its budget. They're still arguing about that. We seem to be a rudderless ship when that, and this is the real impact that it's having on business, isn't it?
Correct. And you see it at a macro level with the politics. The two hottest candidates, Trump and Sanders, very extreme left and right, would that normally happen, Steve? No. I mean, but people are afraid.
Right. And that is the other fear is that with this being an election year, we don't have a moderate candidate in there, or is Hillary Clinton the moderate of them all?
If she doesn't go to jail.
Right, exactly. I mean, so that is a real concern going forward, right?
Correct.
Well, you mentioned the high points of this survey, which were technical jobs. Tell us exactly what technical jobs.
Well, I have three acronyms for you, Steve. AI, VR, and EE.
See if I can get those. Artificial intelligence.
Correct.
And virtual reality.
Correct.
And the third one.
EE, electrical engineers. Let me take them in order.
Okay.
AI, everything that you see in, scientific and high tech today, driverless cars, drones, et cetera, that's all driven by AI. And as proof of how important that is, Google just named the head of AI to replace their departing head of Google Alphabet. So that's how important AI is. Second, VR, virtual reality. How important is this? Facebook paid $2 billion for Oculus, the startup on VR. Finally, EE, one of the key areas that's really in short supply and high demand are electrical engineers with project management experience, especially in construction. As construction has come back, project managers who've managed projects up to $5 million, I could place them today if they have project management construction. I have, in fact, I have a client up in McHenry County it's willing to pay somebody $100,000 for the right person. So project managers, not as sexy as AI and VR, but double E's with project management experience.
So project management meaning that they have been the head guy on the job and that they can organize all that stuff, or is it more deep than that?
From a macro perspective, that is a person who runs the entire construction project. So, for example, let's say that somebody is building, WGN's building a new building, or Chicago Public Schools are building a new building, and they need an electrical contractor to come in. The project manager over that would make sure all the electrical was done right, all the electricians did everything on time and on budget, et cetera.
So if you're an electrical engineer out there who doesn't have that experience, find it fast.
Correct.
If somebody comes to you, or how do they, if they're listening this morning, how do they do that pretty quickly?
Well, I mean, you'd have to get in with a company that's looking to hire you. But even if you're a non-degreed electrical engineer and you have some experience with electrical contracting, you can usually find a job tomorrow.
The VR thing is going to be huge. All of the technical people are saying exactly what you're saying. Facebook has bought this. It made these changes. This VR is on their dashboard for some reason. One can only imagine. Do you have any thoughts about that? Are we going to be wearing the goggles on Facebook now? Is that it?
That's fun. It's going to be fun. But, you know, it all comes down to what we've talked about before, Steve, is that education has to keep up. Our educational system is slipping with the STEM areas, science, technology, engineering, and math. So we've got to push our schools to be better, to drive more people in science, technology, engineering, math, and also retrain people to be in these hot areas.
Because the last time we spoke with you, we discussed how some of these schools in other countries are beating out American schools and attracting these candidates and getting these candidates ready for that area. And we're not doing such a good job, are we?
Correct. And if you look at all the fights our mayor has had with Karen Lewis, et cetera, instead of fighting with her, help her, to come to agreement to push the school system to the next level, because teachers want to teach people. So get away from the politics and start teaching people and push to the next level.
We're talking with Scott Sargis, at Scott Sargis on Twitter, strategicsearch.com. Scott, stick around for our next segment. We're going to break for traffic. We have some more questions for you. And you, too, stay tuned as well to the opening bell here on WGN.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:49. Welcome back to the program. The Dow futures are lower this hour, 184 points now off. The S&P futures are off 22. It was a shortened day in Asia and Japan. The Lunar New Year, the Nikkei ended up of 184 points. Europe is still active this morning. The FTSE is off about 98. Let's get a look at the latest commodity prices now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Well, we ended last Friday with the stock market having an impact on the cattle market once again. When that stock market moves lower, we see cattle prices move lower. So this morning, we'll start the April live cattle contract at $134.07 a hundredweight. After it dropped $1.57 on Friday, the April feeder cattle contract will start the week at $153 after dropping $3.02 on Friday. And the May lean hog contract starts the week at $76.45 after dropping 37 cents at the close of trade last week. Other notes this morning, Brazil's soybean crop 51% sold, and that's above the five-year average of 44% sold by this time of the year. And a year ago, the previous crop was 38% sold. And harvesting is underway in South America. It is ahead of last year's pace in the harvest progress there. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. It's 5:51, and we're back to our conversation now with Scott Sargis of Scott Sargis, strategicasearch.com, again on Twitter, at Scott Sargis. Scott, going forward here, you mentioned we talked about VR as one of the areas of growth. We talked about electrical engineering. What about AI? I mean, does that sort of fit with VR?
Well, they're separate, but they're kind of connected. And if you look at all the important developments in the news about driverless cars, and drones, et cetera, those are all driven by knowledge systems or artificial intelligence systems. So that's, you know, an exceptional field.
We on our broadcast last week, we talked to a professor about this, and you know, they're doing drone racing now, professional drone racing. They're trying to build like a NASCAR type thing. Drones are on farms; they're everywhere. And that's growth, he said, is going to just be explosive, in his words. Those were his words. What kind of jobs would you get in that area?
Well, I talked to Dr. Christopher White at DARPA, the defense contractor. He developed a new search engine called Memex, M-E-M-E-X, and he's since left DARPA. And there's a lot of jobs for those types, for developing better search engines. Software development and AI, et cetera, knowledge systems, systems that can learn on based on past behavior. So those are some areas for growth in AI. But anywhere that you're looking at driverless cars or anything that, you know, knowledge systems, robots, they all are going to be driven by AI.
DARPA, if you don't know what DARPA is, Google DARPA right away. It's these are the folks that build these like crazy looking robot dogs and robot machines, and I think they're one of the defense contractors. This is the future, right? We're headed there. How soon do you think we're going to see these driverless cars on the roads?
Well, you're seeing it now. I mean, yeah. Apple's investing in this. Google's investing in it. I mean, how soon? I mean, there's a lot of snags, you know, but you're already seeing this now in the Silicon Valley, and it, you know, Tesla is getting involved with this too. So this is a hot field.
And you mentioned Silicon Valley. Is this something that somebody in the Midwest has a shot at, or do you have to move to Silicon Valley to be involved with this?
Well, we have some very good research centers that are involved with AI in Champaign-Urbana. So, mm-hmm. No, it's something that if you're interested in AI, you can get involved with it worldwide.
And is it like electrical engineering? Can you place people today in these jobs?
Correct. And as I mentioned, in electrical engineering or double E's that have project management experience for electrical contractors, I could place them right away.
How, and what kind of money are we talking about in terms of income?
For which ones?
Any of these jobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, AI positions, you or virtual reality, you can write your own ticket. They're stealing people left and right. Carnegie Mellon is losing people left and right, you know, to a lot of startup companies. With respect to double E's, with project manager double E's who have construction background, electrical contractors, they're making easily $95,000, $100,000, $110,000.
Because I asked that question because one of the areas of the jobs report that was concerning is the millennials are not getting jobs, it seems, fast enough out of college. And, you know, I wonder if they're getting the right advice when they're in college about what to be studying.
That is a big problem. And they're finding that a lot of the softer areas, you know, sociology, et cetera, are not, you know, having as big a payoff. Once again, what we talked about earlier, the STEM areas are the keys. And we've got to put a lot of more emphasis on science, engineering, technology, and math. And those are the areas that are the foundation of AI, VR, and double E.
And is it never too early, if you're a parent listening right now, to get your kids interested in this, even if the school system is not?
No, it's never too early. In fact, I highly recommend it because of the deficiencies in especially the Chicago public schools in the STEM areas. As much as possible, if you're a parent listening today, Steve, I recommend that you should emphasize STEM. Once again, science, technology, engineering, and math. That is the future. That's the foundation of our future. And the things that we haven't even conceived of today are going to be the future tomorrow.
It's an exciting time to be alive, and the future is going to be really, really even more exciting, I think. Scott Sargis, thanks for being with us on the opening bell today. Again, you can find him on Twitter, @ScottSargis, and you can find information about all of the things that we talked about on his website, strategicsearch.com. He's a specialist in engineering, recruiting, technical recruiting. Scott, thanks for coming in, being on the opening bell this morning.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too, sir.
It's 5:56. Just one more quick check of the markets. The Dow futures right now are off 173 points, not looking good for the opening bell, and the S&P futures are off 21. That's our broadcast for this morning. Thanks always to our engineer, Ben Cortez, our producers, Mary Sandberg. Thanks to Kevin Powell and Ross Cochran as well. Have a great day. The Steve Cochran Show is next. It's 5:57.